Today, I wasn't here last week because I wanted to get to where it was cool. So I went to Thousand Island Lake, and it was wonderful. It rained 2 inches on us on Saturday afternoon, and then another inch and a half on Sunday afternoon, and then we got out of there just in time on Monday. So we had a good time. It was a beautiful spot. I know you've been there before, and I had never been there, so I wanted to go see what it was like. And we saw lots of beautiful things, and it's a wonderful place to get out in nature. And it's kind of interesting today. We got a little bit of rain today. It smelled good this morning. So I want to know if something special happened to you this week. Anything special happened to anyone this week that they'd like to share with the group? Nothing special happened all week? Okay, Christy has something to share. Sweet.
Well, we took Chandra down to our orientation, La Sierra, and it went a lot better than I expected. So it was quick and easy. She's all signed up and ready to go to school. And I just want you guys to pray for all these kids that are getting ready to go to school. And for a school that's already started, you know. Jared just started this week, all the younger kids. So just continue to pray for all the school kids.
I heard it was an anniversary today, too. Someone told me, your anniversary today. Well, congratulations to Gary and Christy.
I just wanted to say, Daniel, my son finally went to Job Corps Monday. He's there, he's safe, and he's doing all the good. And please say prayers for him.
Just really excited. We had our welcome back for school Tuesday night. And just even in the mornings, we started Wednesday morning was our first day of school. And it was such an awesome thing to look out the windows and see cars, like our parking lot full, cars parked on the side of the road, and just people coming in with cameras and just all the excitement of beginning the school year. And I'm just blessed to have 14 this year. So. The Lord's blessing.
All right, someone else this morning. Okay.
Well, I'm grateful that my husband finished my craft room for me this week. And also my grandkids are coming up to spend the week with us before their school starts. So we're excited about that. And also we have our 19th anniversary coming up this next week.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Remember that. All right. It's good to see Dr. Scharfenberg back in town.
I want to thank the Lord that Jim Brown is going to be all right. He had a little episode. His heart seems to be healthy and things, but he has had electronic problems, and he passed out, and they were at Tuolumne Meadows. And he is currently in Reno, and they installed a pacemaker, and they think that he will probably be all right. So it's a pleasure to hear that.
There was a lot of electrical activity in Tuolumne Meadows.
It's a little late, but last July 15th, my wife and I celebrated 50 years of marriage. Wonderful years.
Congratulations.
I completed my second job interview, and they told me that they wanted to hire me. So, and that's really great for our family since no one's working. So thank you.
Someone else this morning. I want to share a couple of prayer requests. A good friend of mine, Dr. Greg Nell Chajan, his father passed away this past week. He's an orthodontist down in Fresno area. I just appreciate you praying for their family. And I know I brought another lady's name to you over the last few months, Linda, who had lung cancer, and she passed away this last week also. And I'm going to see her husband on Monday, so at my office. So I just pray for him that he will make that adjustment. And also, Dr. Dalgleish celebrated his 92nd birthday I don't see him here today, but I know he's, Helen had some pictures up on Facebook. Their daughter was visiting too. It was her birthday, and so I'm just thankful that he said he was able to eat a little bit on his birthday, a little ice cream, so that was nice. So, and also the Jeffries, their son passed away this last week also. I think that was mentioned last week in church, but just remember their family. And Pastor Stevens in Bakersfield today, our speaker today is Miranda. And Miranda is heading back to school at Southern, and she and Tom are both leaving pretty quick. And so she's going to be sharing with us today, and we look forward to her bubbly excitement through the day. And so as we start our church this morning, let's just bow our heads in prayer and ask God just to really speak to our hearts this morning. Lord Jesus, this morning, we have messages of thanksgiving and messages of prayer that we bring to you. We just want to thank you for being with us each day and just being with us here in our family, in our presence, Lord. We just want to just come close to you today as a special time, as a church family together, as we listen to your Spirit speak to us through this church service. And we just want to praise you and honor you for being our God, and thank you for doing all things for us. And we just ask for your strength now, and just bless the time we spend together in Jesus' name. Amen.
I want to start our song service with, should be a fairly familiar hymn, Blessed Assurance. And, you know, God is our heavenly parent. How many of you are parents? Yeah, lots of us. You know, and sometimes I think it's easy for us to get caught up in the behaviors of our children. And sometimes we lose sight of helping them know how precious and special and loved they are, how valuable they are to us. And God is our parent. I believe He wants us to know and be assured of the fact that He loves us and that we are His, and that there's nothing that can separate us from that love. So as we sing that song this morning, it's in your hymnal, number 462. Let's just think about that amazing love and the assurance that God wants us to possess every day. We don't have to wake up saying, I wonder if God loves me today, because He says, you are precious. I love you. You are mine.
Of God. His goodness lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior.
Not only is God our heavenly parent, but He's the fount from which every single blessing in our life flows. He is the fount, He is the source. And when you think about the fact you even have life today, that's where it's coming from. Come, thou fount. We want more and more of His blessings in our lives, not be satisfied with a few. We'd like our lives to be absolutely filled. It's number 334 in your hymnal, Come Thou Fount.
Come Thou Fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing Thy grace. Call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me ever to adore Thee. May I still Thy goodness prove, while the hope of endless glory fills my heart with joy and love. Sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed His precious blood.
That's my favorite song. And I want to read to you a verse that speaks of that song. It's Joshua chapter 4, verse 6. Let this be a sign among you, so that when your children ask later, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall say to them, because the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be a memorial or an Ebenezer to the sons of Israel forever. And God gives us landmarks in our life, doesn't he? And sometimes those landmarks are really spectacular, and sometimes they're small landmarks, but they're still landmarks. And so one landmark in our community is our church. And today our offering is for our local church budget, so we'll have the deacon stand, because we want our church to be a landmark in our community that other people can know and come to and feel it be a safe place. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for our church, and thank you for this place where we can come. We thank you for each blessing that you give to us. Lord, may the offering we give today be used to honor and glorify you in all ways. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Hey, kids, you know what time it is? Anybody who's under 18 can come up. It's time for children's story.
This morning I had to tell you a story about a turkey. Now, lots of times I tell you stories about pets and wild animals and things like that, but these turkeys were not so fortunate. Do you know what it means to, you know, the Bible says, judge not that ye be not judged? What does that mean, you think? Sometimes we make decisions about people like that person's bad or that person's not smart. We judge them, don't we? But we shouldn't do that. Most of the time when we judge people wrong, it's because we don't know the whole story, isn't it? We just know little bits of stories. Hardly any story that we know is the whole story. There's always another side to it. Well, I'm going to tell you two parts of a story. So the first part is about a man who didn't have a job. And that can be very difficult, especially when you have a bunch of kids and a wife. And he had spent the whole entire day, which happened to be the day before Thanksgiving, looking for a job. And every place he'd go, no, we don't need anybody. No jobs available. And he didn't even have food for his family for Thanksgiving. Now, what do people usually eat for Thanksgiving? Yeah, turkeys. If they're not vegetarians, they eat turkeys. Poor turkey. But this man didn't even have a turkey for his family, and he got on the bus, and he was thinking, what am I going to do? We just hardly have anything to eat at all. It's not going to be a special dinner. And even if you don't have a turkey, you want Thanksgiving to be special, don't you? So he got on the bus, and the only empty seat was next to a man who had a big package in his lap. And they got to talking as they rode along, and he told the man his troubles, and the man said, well, you know, I've got this giant turkey on my lap. Where I work, they give us one every year. And I don't have a family. He says, I'm going to spend Thanksgiving by myself. He says, I don't know what I'm going to do with this big turkey. And he said, how much? At first he thought he'd give it to him. And then he thought, well, this is a hardworking man. He might be insulted if I just gave it to him. I'll let him buy it. So he said, how much money do you have? And he said, I have $2 and some change. And he says, I'll sell you this turkey for $2 and your change. And the man was very, very happy. And he says, oh, that is such good news. Now I can take this turkey home to my family and we'll have a wonderful Thanksgiving dinner. And God bless you. And so they both felt real happy and good. Well, the man got home with the turkey and he opened it up. He opened the package up and he started to take the paper off the turkey. And he realized it wasn't really a turkey. Do you remember when we had the little tree program and we made paper mache rocks? Remember that? Did any of you help make them? You put strips of newspaper in some kind of pasty glue stuff and then you make the shape. Remember the whole organ was a rock? This was a paper mache turkey. And it had rocks in it so that it felt heavy like a turkey. And he thought, that man, he is so mean. I can't believe how mean he is. I spent my last $2 and change on this stupid paper mache turkey and we can't even eat it. You agree that that was a pretty mean man? Okay, now I'm going to tell you a different story. I'm going to tell you about Harvey. Now, Harvey was a lawyer, and he worked for a law firm. And a law firm is where a lot of lawyers come and work for the same man. Well, their boss had a tradition that the day before Thanksgiving, their last day of work before the holiday, he would give each one a big turkey. And they had to go pick up their turkey off the walnut table and then say how happy they were to work for this law firm. And they all enjoyed it and took their turkeys home. Well, one year, two of Harvey's friends decided that they were going to do something which they thought was just really, really funny. And so they made a paper mache turkey, and they put rocks in it so it felt like a real turkey. And so when he picked up his turkey, he thought it was a turkey, and he took it home. And when he got on the bus to go home that night, he'd think, what am I going to do with this great big turkey? It could feed a whole family, and I don't have a family. And just then, this sad-looking man came and sat down beside him, and he said, I've been looking for a job all day long. I don't even have food for my family. Who do you think it was? The same man as in the first story, huh? So was Harvey a bad man when he sold in the turkey? No. He was trying to do a really kind, good deed. So next time maybe somebody at school or one of your friends treats you a little mean and you think, they're just awful, I don't want to be their friend anymore, you've got to remember that we can't judge. I mean, who knows? Maybe someone was really mean to them, or maybe their dog died, or you don't know. So always try to give people the benefit of a doubt and think there might be something that you don't know about their story. Okay? Okay, you can go pick up your baskets and get the lamb's offering.
I'd like to invite Tom and Miranda to come up front for a special prayer time before they go to Southern. So while they come up, I don't know about the rest of the church family, but I've been very blessed by having them to work with as coworkers this last year, these last few months. I know that I'm going to miss Miranda's laugh, and I'm going to miss Tom's jokes. And working with them in youth group and different things. I just invite you as well to pray with me as I pray over them, and also for the other students that are going to be going to different schools coming up here in the next few months. So bow your heads with me as we pray. Dear Father, I just pray that you'd be in a special way with Tom and Miranda as they go to Southern, and all the other students in the different schools they're going to be going to, and that the time that we've spent here together, they could continue to work for you in the different fields that you have, and that they would come back and share their energy again with this church in the future, maybe on some Christmas break or spring break, and that you continue to work through them in a powerful way as you work through them here, and that your ministry would continue to go through the ends of the world through these powerful witnesses for you. We just pray all of this in your name. Amen.
Let's continue our song service with another well-loved hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, number 499. And to think that God is willing to be not only parent, but come right alongside us as a friend kind of boggles my mind about his willingness to just be in our lives and be with us, whatever is going on in our lives. He's there, he's readily available to hear us, to comfort us, to guide us, just to hold us up. And I love that about Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus.
Take it.
forsake thee. Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there.
Last song for our song service, it's really kind of a Vespers song for the end of the day, and night is coming on, and obviously that is not the time of the day we're in right now, but some of us might feel that we're in that time of our life, or maybe we're in a situation right now where it feels like it's even time, like it's kind of dark, and maybe we're having a difficult time. So this is an invitation from a heart that's hurting, saying, Lord, would you come and abide with me and be my friend, this friend that we just sang about. Will you support me when things get tough, when things aren't maybe the way I'd like them to be? So let's make it a prayer. Number 50 in your hymnal.
Abide with me, fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee,
For all of those who are able, please kneel for prayer. Dearest loving Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for this Sabbath, and that it brings the rest from the toil of this last week. And Lord, I just ask for a special prayer for all the people that are hurting in our church, the ones that Tom mentioned. Lord, there's many things that are weighing us down and are affecting our lives. And Lord, I just ask you would bring comfort to those individuals and each one of us. Lord, I also want to bring some praises to you that for our school that we have 14 children. Lord, I just praise you so much for that and for the wonderful teachers and her assistants. And, oh, Lord, it's just amazing. And to look at the building out there and to see everything that's taking place, I just thank you so much. And, Lord, as we continue this Sabbath, Lord, I just ask that everything that we do would be a blessing to you, that we would be an example. And, Lord, as Miranda gives a sermon today, I just ask that you would give her words that would be deep and meaningful, and that would be your words, and they would pass through her, that we would be fed today. And Lord, I just thank you so much for your many blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi. Oh, it's so good to see you guys. Oh, hey. Oh, man. Happy Sabbath. Oh, it's so good to see you guys' faces. I was, before Steve left, it was kind of a moment of tears because I was rushing to Bible, so he's like, okay, go leave me. I'm like, I can't leave you. Because it's going to be 4 months till I see you guys again. And I was talking to him and other people, and I was starting to think, wow, I think I'm going to feel homesick. Well, just to give you a little idea, this is the first place I've actually been in one place for a year, if you think about it. Because once I hit 14, I went to boarding academy, had to work through my summers, so I was never home. And I did that for 7 years, and the last 3 years, I was in 2 years of Bible college, which required 3 weeks at a school, then 3 weeks out in the field, alternating for a whole 2 years. And even in my practicum, which got worse, my first year at a Bible college, I had 1 year in my field and 1 year in another field, one field and the next, alternating. And then I went to second year of Bible college, and it got better. I had 5 weeks of one place instead of one. And then it alternated. And finally, I come to Oakhurst and say 1 year with people that love me. And so I just wanted to let you know that you guys are very special to my heart. You guys taught me so much. And that's why I wanted to share a little bit with you of how much you've taught me through this year. And even though I'm leaving, I'll be back. So let us pray one more time. Father in heaven, I just want to thank you so much for the love and the joy that you've given me this year. The stability of friendships, long-term friends here that I'll cherish forever. And I just pray now that as you're here speaking and put things on my heart to say, that you truly be there. And thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. So my title is No Excuses. And I guess you can take that in many ways, many different forms. But the one I really wanted to point at was Well, how do I say it? Here's a better way to say it. The cross gives us no excuse not to be saved. And I learned that this year. I'll share a recent story that will make many of you laugh because you know my car experiences. Some more I'd rather not be said, but I'll embarrass myself today. Might as well. We were at Yava Pines, and the Yukon, you know Delinda's beautiful Yukon, and there was a tree here and a car here, and I had to go this way. Just picture it. And I had before had some interesting experiences with vehicles, and I was thinking in my mind the whole time, oh, I don't want to mess up. Focus, Meredith. Oh, I don't want to mess up. And so I was thinking all this while I was trying to back out, and lo and behold, the driver's side got a dent in it. And and so the rest of the story is history, $750 out of my wallet. And luckily, that was all, because it's supposed to be more than that. And Steve was on the phone with me, the good mentor he is. He takes every moment as a teachable moment. And I'm, of course, feeling terrible, because first I'm frustrated with myself because I was thinking, I don't want to mess up, but I did. And the whole time he was talking to me, I was trying to say, but boss, I really tried this time. And he's like, Miranda, I'm going to say something that it sounds a little harsh, but it's very true. And it just kind of transformed my whole view. And he said, Miranda, there's no really accidents. It's carelessness. And it hit me. I was like, oh, you know what? He's right. I wasn't really being careful. I was just worrying. I wasn't doing it. I was worrying about it. And I was just being careless. And it's kind of like, I guess in life, we can easily make excuses, you know, reasons why not to do something. And the reality is, it's teaching us from actually doing what we want to do. Have any of you struggled with victory in certain areas in your life that you really desire to get over? But when you think about it, you're like, you know what? If I would just stop making excuses for when it happens or before it happens and just purpose in my heart, it will be. And it's not really hard. I just have to do it. So basically, today is really simple. It's no excuses brings victory and change. And I'll share a little bit of my testimony, but before, I just wanted to point out purpose. If we purpose in our heart to do good, it will happen. Instead of worrying about things of, oh, I always mess up, or I always do this, I always do that, if I just purpose in my heart, it'll happen because I'm connected to God. Because I purpose to connect with him, it'll happen. And everyone loves Daniel, right? Daniel in the Bible, he's my hero. And if you turn with me to Daniel 1, verse 8, this is what captured my whole year this year. I was going out, I was Bible working in San Diego, and I was going through the Bible chronologically, and I spawned on this, and I wrote it in my journal, and then I was reading, and I thought, this is so powerful. And then I went over it again this year, and I was like, I experienced what I just studied a long time ago. And when you have a life where you don't make excuses, you, what's a better word to say? When you have a life where you stop making reasons for the things that you're doing and take ownership for them, it gives you this life of where you have purpose, like you can plan. It's a life where you can trust more. Trusting God, you you're able to focus on blessings instead of your mistakes. You are able to give more, and you're more efficient in giving. And wow, it just, yeah, Daniel 1:8 says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portions of the king's delicacies, nor the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." Isn't that cool? Like, I guess we have to, like, really, to really know the depth of this decision that Daniel made, we have to think of what he went through. Like, he's royal blood of the Jerusalem. And he was taken to captivity to a foreign country. But not only that, he was abused, like, physically, in ways that we would like not to talk about. And, like, he basically was taken from his family, and then he physically was made not to have a family. And he's in a foreign country, and he has every reason, every excuse, from, like, the psychological, those people, world, their statistics say if you grew up in a, if you go through extreme, circumstances, you only react bad. Like, you don't make good decisions, you're messed up, yada, yada. But here, Daniel defies all that and makes good decisions and honors God, even though his family is taken away. He can't have a family. He's physically, just messed up, and yet he is still purposing to choose God and to follow him. Like, think of that. Like, he has every reason, like, circumstances-wise, to think, oh, God, forget him. He doesn't care about me. He doesn't love me. Like, I don't need to serve him. But he said, no, I'm going to serve God because I know that's the way to live life. That's the way it's good. It's going to be hard. It wasn't easy for Daniel. I mean, how easier it would have been just to eat the meat and just be quiet and just go through the route. But no, he purposed in his heart to follow God. And that connection with God made him just show love to people. And it won the guy's heart that was in charge and saying, I'll test it out. You test only. And I love that part. You remember, how many of you were here last Sabbath of Steve's story? Well, there's a story in there of Daniel in this story, chapter 1. I loved it when I was a kid. Where Daniel is there with his three friends, and it's a picture of them before the king. And they're in the front and in the back. And you can tell by the colors that Daniel and his three friends, they're all nice and healthy looking and nice. And then you have the guys in the back, they're weaklings. Like, they're gray-faced, and they're weak. And that's just, like, a contrast. And then you think, I always, when I was a kid, I was like, oh, how could they? How could they not obey God when I was a little kid? Why were they like the three? And then it dawned on me, well, it's because that's the excuse. They had circumstances where they made the circumstances their way of life instead of making their way of life despite their circumstances. Living life with purpose instead of just living what life gives you. And that kind of messes you up. But there's some statistics. People are like, well, Daniel had a good family. Like, he grew up in a really good family, that's why he could make really good decisions. And people can speculate that, because you can't really know too much, except he was royal blood, we know that. But if you think about it, even if that was true, like, Jerusalem, the reason they were in captivity, because they were disloyal to God. And so, and it's beautiful, because see the picture of, like, in the time where you see no victory for God and God's people, because they're taken to Babylon, Daniel is the victory for that time, saying, I will stand up for God despite what the world says. And it was beautiful. It was a wonderful example for us today to say, you know what? Circumstances don't matter. My past, yes, it happened. We all have it. but it doesn't define what I can do today. And but where in the Bible do we know that someone had a messed up family life but made good decisions despite it? Bingo! Yeah! Joseph! Like, Joseph is one of my heroes because there's so many people I know, even of myself, who can say, well, Daniel had a good family life. Of course he's going to do good. But Joseph, think of, okay, his dad had two wives. That's dysfunction already. And then on top of that, like, his brothers were just... And, like, you can't help it. Jealousy, I've had jealousy in my heart. I do stupid things when I'm jealous. Like, you see, you can look at the people and go into, like, just come into each person's viewpoint and understand circumstances-wise why they would do it. And because, oh, he's the favorite, you know, oh, you know. Then, and Joseph, he was a spoiled brat, you know. Of course, I would taunt him if I was his big brother. And like, and so just thinking of all this dysfunction, he grows up in dysfunction, and he's thrown in the pit. You know the rest of the story. He's going to Egypt, and he looks at his tent, and there's another my friend Jesus story, where you see the picture of Joseph on a camel, or he might have been dragged, looking at his father's tents as he goes to Egypt. And he thinks in his heart, I'm going to serve God. Of my father's. He purposed. He made God's relationship with his father not something of just his father. He made a relationship with God himself. He owned God in the sense of he wanted to be God's friend personally. It was his. And from then on, he didn't get better. He was a slave, right? And slaves of Egypt, being a Hebrew, he wasn't treated nicely. But think of him, he climbed up their ladder, right? And it didn't happen instantly. He had to work for that. What if, like Joseph, he could easily just go and say, oh, I'm a slave, I'll just do whatever they tell me. But no, he went beyond that. He purposed to honor God, and that meant to do his very, very best. And he did more than anyone, a normal slave wouldn't do. And Potiphar recognized that and said, wow. And he made him the top. And he, you know, after being, like, it took him a long time to get to the top, you know, then Potiphar's wife accuses him, and I don't think it was very long of a time that he was on the top before he was at the bottom in the prison again. Compared to how it took him to be a top servant, to the length of time he was at the top of a servant was probably not in comparison. And you know, he should have died because Egyptians don't care about Hebrews, so he should have died. But Potiphar didn't believe Joseph did it, so he sent him to prison. That's speculation too, but it's kind of very true that if a servant's attacking your wife, you're going to kill them. No mercy. But he was sent to prison instead. And think of Joseph at that moment. He had every reason, every excuse to say, I am going to just forget God because I've tried this thing. I went to the top and then bam, at the bottom again. But no, even through that, the two servants, you remember that story? They had dreams and they were both worried and they were both sent in prison. And Joseph was still firm with God and telling the truth and encouraging. He didn't sit back and say, oh, I'll just stay here in prison either though, because he said, mention me to the king. He didn't want to be in prison. And then the rest of the story is history of how he glorified God in every single situation. And we as people were made to be good. Joseph and Daniel aren't special. They are just special in the sense that they're in the Bible and but there's people I even know today that have been my heroes, that despite circumstances, have done great things for God. And we are made to be good. We're made to do good. But if we look in Genesis 1 and 2 and 3, those chapters, we see the story of why we're here, why there's evil in the world, because, and why we do things, is because Instead of choosing God, we chose Satan as our owner. And Satan is not exactly a friendly guy. I was picturing it as I was thinking about it. Wow, like, the cross is so beautiful. Because if you think, the greatest test of love is obedience, right? And we totally disobeyed. It was not the apple or whatever fruit it was that sent us away from God. It's that our disobedience disconnected us from him. And we were in this just darkness where we just, like, we couldn't even know we could do it good anymore, because the devil, he was just flaunting at Eve and Adam with emotions and, like, just situations, and just, they were disconnected with God, who is the source of life. No wonder they died. I mean, it's not that God wanted to kill us when we did bad. It was because when we're disconnected from the life giver, if, you know, a plant, when he's disconnected from the root, it just wilts and dies. It's logic, I guess. And then I was thinking, wow, the cross was the one moment of clarity of all history, the one moment where you had no shadow of a doubt that God was love and that he had come to tell us that we could be good, that we didn't have to be the way we were, that he came to pay the penalty of our past and our future sins, because we're in the future, but we don't have to live that way. He said, be perfect as your Father, as me and my Father in heaven. That's strong words. But if you think about it, it's because he can say that because when we're connected to him, the source of life, as we look at the cross and behold it, as we think, instead of thinking, oh, I don't want to fail, this is a classic example. Oh, I don't want to be a Christian because I know I'll be a hypocrite. Have you heard that? Like, it's true, though. It's a valid point. You don't want to be say you're something and not be it. Like, people want to have victory. They don't want to fall, and they don't want to plan to fall. And so then they say, I want to be a Christian, but I know I'll fall. That's why they don't become Christian, because they don't want to fall. No one wants to make mistakes or plan them. And here, it was beautiful that at the cross, Jesus said, just be connected to me. I'm the vine. Bear much fruit when you're connected to me. And when you're connected, when you purpose in your heart to be connected to Jesus, you will have victory in your life. Without a doubt. Because as you think of your past things, you're like, why do I keep messing up? Why do I keep falling this area? Like, we can stop falling if we just look, step back, and say, why do I keep falling in that area? What excuses am I making to say, oh, well, at the moment, like, now take, I don't mean that there are certain circumstances where there are things that have reason why we can't do something. For example, if you're in emergency situations, we need to do something. It's, for example, buying on the Sabbath. Like, there are some times where we need to because it's emergency, right? Or going to the hospital on the Sabbath. There are things to do good on the Sabbath is good. But in the sense of other things that we know are just selfish, that we could have victory over if we just stop saying, oh, well, it's because of this and that of my circumstances. If only these circumstances changed, I would do it. Like, look at Joseph and Daniel. Like, amongst darkness, they took on Jesus and said, let's go. Darkness. My childhood was pretty much darkness. My dad was the darkest part. But he, like, all the stuff that was going on in my family, stuff. I was 7, and I missed my bus. And in my little mind, having just instability, already, thank you, already, the moment of being lost in a bus wouldn't be a big deal if it wasn't added on. It's like the straw that broke the camel's back. And I was sitting there in this long bus in the middle, and I was sitting there just contemplating, I was so, my emotions were so angry of home life, of being lost on the bus, and just everything was wrong. And I was so angry at God. And I'm 7, but I looked up to, I just thought about it, and in my mind I said, I hate you, God. I hate you. Why do you let me have this kind of life? Why are you letting me? It's not my fault. Why did you let me have this kind of life? Of course, I said it in 7-year-old language. And flashes, as soon as I said it in my mind, why I hate you, God, like pictures came up. Like, oh, my dad, and how unhappy he was. He was a deacon in the church, but his life wasn't a deacon. Like, he would do things, and those things came up in my life of how he's unsatisfied. He said he loved God, but you knew he didn't by his life. He even cursed God on this Sabbath and did all, yeah, let's not talk about it. And then I got flashes of my mom. I always loved it. I'm high energy, as you know, and it was worse when I was younger. And so I had my own room and contained her. And so I couldn't go to sleep at night. I just wanted the world to happen all the time. And so I'd sneak my animals inside, and yes, they slept with me too. And my mom would come in, and she would, the only thing that seemed to calm my mind was she reading those stories. Remember the stories I just mentioned of my Bible friends and the blue Bible stories? I was like, Mommy, another one, another one, another one. And so she would read and read and read until she got tired. And then she said, I gotta go to bed, honey. And then she'd leave. And those start popping up in my mind. That moments of stories of faithful people. And my mom, who never blamed God for the situation she was in at home. And then it hit me. If I hate God and choose not to be with him, I'm being just like my dad. I know it's kind of rough for a 7-year-old to think at that age. But at that moment, I started crying, and you're in the middle of the bus, so it's kind of the center of attention. The back is more loud, but yeah, because the monitors are there. and I started crying, and no one knew what to do. I didn't, believe it or not, I didn't cry loudly, as I remember. And I was crying, and I said in my little heart, God, I don't want to hate you. I want to love you because people that don't love you do harm. The people who don't serve you hurt. I don't want to hurt anymore, and I don't want to hurt anyone. And from that moment on, I purposed in my heart to be like that Joseph, to be like that Daniel. Yeah, I wasn't... Yeah, I'm just normal. maybe not. But I said, I'm going to serve God despite my circumstances, despite my rough life. I went through a lot of things after that, but the very moment I got my independence, I said, let's go to church school. Let's go serve God. And I, as many know, I didn't know everything about God. You know, I was studying until last year. I didn't really understand that salvation was free. I didn't realize till last year, before I came here to be a Bible worker, when I was Bible working and I had to explain salvation to someone and had to study out for myself, was I forced to understand and tell them hope. God's love and grace is free. Look at the cross, it's free. And then this year, I learned no excuses. You guys taught me that. No excuses, Miranda. Because it's right. When we own our stuff, that's when we can give it to God. But if we just excuse it, oh, it's this person's fault, it's that person's fault, or it's someone's fault. You know how if you ever went to, like, I went through lots of different interesting counselors that were not Christian, and they're just like, oh, it was because of your father's this and this, that's why that you act that way. You know, no, don't listen to that. You don't have to do what your parents did if they were bad. You don't. You have the right to choose differently. Because when you're connected, when you purpose in your heart to be connected to the good Jesus Christ, he will guide you into all truth. You don't have to worry, and don't worry, because that's not very effective either. look at the Yukon. Still missing a pinstripe, but it'll get fixed. Don't think, oh, I don't want to mess up. Think, I'm not going to mess up. God, help me. What do I do to do good in every circumstance? Every circumstance. I just wanted to let you know, you've shown me God's love. And I pray that as you heard this, that if you are thinking of anything in your heart that you have not had victory over, because you've made excuses, because you've said, oh, because of the circumstances and it was this way, I just had to do it. That was the only option. But you know in your heart, there probably was another option. It was just the easy way out. I invite you to close your eyes as I sing How Deep the Father's Love and just give that to God to say, no more, God. It's all you. No more me. It's all you. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he would give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. Great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my guilt upon his shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything. No gifts, no powers, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know, all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. Father in heaven, thank you so much for paying for all of us, for loving us and choosing us to, oh, thank you so much, Father, for loving us. Help us this day forward to not make excuses for things that we know that we can just own up to and just give to you and learn from. Thank you so much for your love and your mercy and your grace, and for your law who shows there's no excuse, but with grace we shall be saved. Thank you for saving us and loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.